You cannot serve both God and mammon, or as I thought as a kid, God and mammoth. I didn't really know what mammoth had to do with anything. I never wanted to serve a mammoth, unless you watched Ice Age. In that case, I could see why, maybe. But they sent me to seminary to make me learn things. One of the things you eventually learn is what this mammon thing is about. And it's incredibly rich, an incredibly rich phrase. If you take off the front M, you get ammon. It sounds a lot like amen, because it's almost the same word as amen. But that M kind of makes all the difference. That M is kind of a prefix that goes on to the front of a word, which makes it no longer about amen. Amen is this declaration of faith. I believe, I trust myself, but it's a kind of covenantal trust. I trust myself to another person. You stick that M in front of it, it becomes a different kind of faith. I trust in things. Mammon are all the things that you trust in, that you gather up for yourself, that you make a mammoth pile of. See what I did there? Yeah. It is a mammoth. You make a mammoth pile of it, and you're strong, you're set, you can sustain yourself. That's the master that seeks to get in the way of God. You cannot serve both God and mammon. We can either say amen to God, or we say mammon to the world. And that choice is before us each and every day. And so to say amen, Jesus gives us this parable, and it's one of those parables that fit into a certain category of parables. They're kind of called the how much more parables. Jesus gives us this example, which involves like all of these sinful people, like the rich man who has a steward. He's not exactly the pinnacle of righteousness either. He's not supposed to be. The steward, you know, he's evil as well, and this interaction between them, the rich man commends the steward for acting prudently. And the point of telling a parable like this is how much more if even those who are wicked behave in such a way, how much more will God, who is good, reward those who he sees acting prudently, those who he sees saying amen instead of mammon. There's another famous one of these that might help us, you know, get the picture. It's the unjust judge who the woman comes and keeps nagging him and nagging him about giving her her justice. And he doesn't give her justice because he is just, but he gives her justice because she persists. And so the idea of that parable is how much more will God, who is just, also give us justice when we continue to pray to him day in and day out. It's how much more. And so this how much more parable, there's also kind of a deeper meaning to it. How much more do we get from that amen than we can get from that mammon? How much more can we get from God when we follow him in a covenant versus God who we follow in a contract? That's what lies beneath the parable. We see this steward, and he's in a contract with this rich man. A contract is this exchange of things between two people. And kind of the idea is, if you hold your end of the bargain, then I'll hold my end of the bargain, and then we can, you know, each go our separate ways. You know, the steward doesn't hold his end of the bargain, so he's out. That's a contract. But then what does he do? He sees that the contract has failed him, and so he decides he's going to instead enter into a covenant. A covenant is not just an exchange of things, it's an exchange of persons. One person giving themselves over fully to the other, and the other person giving themselves fully back. And so this dishonest steward decides to give himself fully over to these people who will be his friends, who will welcome them into his home. And even though it's a very dishonest way he goes about it, again, the point is, if even wicked people know that a covenant is so much stronger than a contract, how much more should we, who are supposed to be God's just ones, understand that our relationship with God cannot be a contract? It cannot simply be this, you know, I'll put in my time, God, and then you have to give me what is yours. It's not like that. It's not like that with God. He doesn't want that either. You know, God, I tell this to people sometimes, will never give us something so great that we no longer need him anymore. He's not concerned with that. He's concerned with the relationship between us, between growing that relationship, growing that covenant. And so, again, there's this hidden meaning in this parable to choose the covenant over a contract, to find what do I want to fully give myself to in this world, be that family, be that friends, be that the Lord, to give yourself to that and to receive fully in return. That's the true meaning of amen. When you come up for communion, you say amen. That's also what you're saying, is not just I believe, yes, this is the body and blood of Christ, but you're also saying, I believe myself into you. I entrust myself to you. I give myself as a gift to you. And we say amen all the time in this liturgy. And that's kind of what we're saying as that response. God has made his promise, his side of the covenant. He's given himself to you. And we make that response in reply. We say amen and not mammon. We entrust ourselves over wholly to you. There's one more, little spiritual meaning in this parable. And that's, again, the steward who in this parable is dishonest, but I think is almost a figure for Jesus. Because what does Jesus do when that first contract or that first covenant falls apart? The Old Testament comes to a close. He goes to all the debtors, all those who owed God everything. And he says, how much do you owe my father? And instead of making them pay the price, Jesus himself pays the full price. He goes around to each and every one of us. He says, how much do you owe my father? And of course, in our sinfulness, we owe him everything. We owe him our whole life. And Jesus says, write down now this new testament, this new covenant, because I will pay the price. I will pay the price that allows you then to welcome me into your home, to enter that covenant forever. This week on Wednesday, we'll have our adult faith formation. We've had many people join us over the first couple weeks. And I'm going to talk about covenants. I'm going to talk about the Old Testament and how all of the covenants were leading up to this covenant in Christ and how we can enter this, how we can, it changes our lives when we stop thinking of God as this contract, and instead turn and think of him as a covenant. So I invite you to join me in that. If you feel like maybe coming here is more of a contractual obligation than it is a covenant, it really can be life-changing. When we take it to prayer, when we take it to everything we do in our life as something that we do to give ourselves fully, because it's only in giving that we receive, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. So brothers and sisters, let's make our amen today, putting our full trust and faith in the Lord. He is the Lord and the Father of the covenant.